Well, let's get out our Bibles and turn to Psalm 103. I read the study that you did, and I thought, well, my, this is a great study as it is, so what am I going to say? So I thought, well, I'll take the sovereignty of God from a little different passage to see that it's not a doctrine that just exists there in Genesis, but it's also a doctrine that is taught throughout Scripture. When you look at the sovereignty of God. And I want you to turn to Psalm 103, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through 22. Psalm 103. Let's begin reading in verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. I thank You for these precious saints here this evening who, Lord, have a longing and a desire and a hunger for Your word, and to know You more fully, that they might, be comforted and strengthened in their faith in You, and that they might be transformed and changed, Lord, and that we, as Your children, as a result, might bring You glory. So, Lord, we pray now that as we open Your word, that You would satisfy the hunger. Lord, that You would lead and guide and direct us, Lord, that You would, by Your Spirit, teach us. As we look at this important topic of the sovereignty of God, that is a huge topic, just kind of looking at some highlights in our time together tonight, Lord, may we, Lord, just be strengthened. So speak, and Lord, may You anoint us to hear what Your word has to say, and we'll give You the thanks for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This whole message really is set on verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Now, there are at least as many reasons not to believe this verse as there are to believe it. I say that because this verse teaches a doctrine that many find, in fact, even you, if you'll be honest, have found troublesome at times. What is that doctrine? It's the sovereignty of God. Of course, a definition is in order. The term sovereign refers to a king or ruler, and it means to have authority. And that's what we see here spoken of, God being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in absolute control and authority. And what we see here in our text is David, the writer, establishes that very powerfully. I mean, I don't think there's any problem if you read these verses that we just read saying, I wonder what he's trying to say. No. He's trying to say and lays it out quite clearly that God rules all things. His throne is settled. His throne is established. It cannot be shaken by the affairs of men. And they can shake their fists and they can get out their books and their PhDs and all their degrees. And they can have all their marches and environmental things and do everything that they can. But they're not going to change the plan of God. Okay, that's the fact. His kingdom, He rules over. Now, in theory, we have no problem with this doctrine. Many of us as Christians go, well, you know, Pastor, I don't really have much of a problem with the fact that God orders the path of the stars and the skies and put the earth in motion and takes care of everything in that way, And man, hey, if without God, the stars wouldn't shine, they wouldn't be there, the creation wouldn't be here, the Milky Way, I have no problem. He put that whole galaxy in place. That's not hard to believe. After all, somebody has to take care of those stars, and we see danger. Space is a pretty dangerous place out there, so we're glad to have and know that God is kind of guiding us through that dangerous place called space with the black holes and all the, you know, things that are flying at us, and at the speed we're going. I mean, we're going really fast. You don't feel it, but we're going really fast right now. We need somebody to be guiding things, right? So we have no problem. But when it comes to the sovereignty of God, when it gets personal, I mean, to speak of stars is one thing. We can leave that with God, and because we know we have nothing to do with the stars anyway, and little ability to control them or alter them in any way, that no big deal. But wait a minute, to say that God is in charge of all, listen to this, that happens to me, the good, the bad. Oh man, Pastor, now you're getting personal. The positive, the negative, that everything that happens in my life, in the life of His church on planet Earth, is all working out for His plan and purpose. No, I don't like that. How can that possibly be? See, because I got some troubles, and that's what I was wondering. Where is God? I got some stuff that doesn't even make sense going on in my life. I don't know why He would allow this and bring about that. And so, you know what? I don't get this stuff. And I got a little problem with that. Sort of like if you bought some kind of appliance or some kind of a electronic gadget, or if you go to a hotel and check in and you got some trouble with the room, or you got some trouble with one of the things that you just bought, you take it back and sometimes you'll run into a salesman, or you'll call, you know, you'll go to the person at the front desk at the hotel and you'll be talking to them and they'll say, well, you know, it looks like a problem. I don't know what should I do? Well, I don't know what to do. Why don't you just send it? No, I want to talk to the manager. Could you give me somebody that actually knows what to do? Okay. And so the manager comes and says, hi, I'm the manager. What's the problem? And you explain it to them. If they go, I don't know. Well, then guess what? They're not a very good manager if they don't know what to do, how to deal with the problem. I mean, that's the problem there. And I wouldn't say that person is really in charge. Or if they are, guess what you think? They shouldn't be. Because they don't know what on earth they're doing. They don't seem to have any control or any kind of solution or resolution to the problems that exist. And they're supposed to be running the show. You see, God is running the show. Never forget that, saint. That's why A.W. Pink said very concisely, to say that God is sovereign is to say that God is God. Okay, and He's in absolute control. Now, there are some objections at times when we recognize that. So we return to the key verse here. The Lord has established His throne in the heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. I can think of three reasons why people doubt, and especially Christians at times, this verse. I mean, to say that God is sovereign, to say that God is God. And Pastor, and I have had this question, and this is a question you're going to have to grapple with. If you've been a Christian very long, man, somebody's asked you this question, and you've probably asked yourself this question. And hey, listen, I got a problem with this verse saying that God is on the throne when I look at the catastrophes that happened. And sometimes to people who I think what on earth, why on earth these people, Lord? You ever been there? You know, I mean, look, you look at the things that happen in life, a volcano erupting in Hawaii, destroying homes, or you know, a snowstorm in Kansas that kills people and leads to, you know, many wounded, the hurricane. I've been there in person there in Joplin on the ground and just was there again recently. And I saw the whole thing taking place with a storm chaser and the whole thing the other night on TV. It was on one of those obscure channels and it caught my attention. So I watched it. I think it was on National Geographic Channel. And I watched this thing and it was amazing. I mean, it was radical what happened there. And the crazy thing about it, when you drive around there, is so one house here is boom, totally gone, completely wiped out. The house, you know, maybe a 40 feet away is untouched. It's so random. And you look at that, and man, you wonder why a famine in certain places, and why, you know, do we have a tsunami that a Christmas that 250,000 lives. And you look at these things, and you ask. You know, Shepard Smith comes on Fox News and says, you know, hey, why? Why? Who can explain why these things happen? Come back and we're going to show you more, though. Well, partly you get a lot of news and a lot of bump in your audience then. But the question does come into our minds. Why? And then sometimes, why not me rather than them? I sat in my office the other day with a father who lost his son in the Afghan war just recently here. You might have read about it. My heart broke for this dad. And he asked the question, why him and why not me? I was in the service for years. Why couldn't I go? Why did God have to take him? And those questions are what come into our mind. Or why did it happen here and not there? Or why isn't it fair? Life isn't fair. Things aren't fair sometimes. And why is it that a tornado can plop down, wipe out a bunch of stuff, and then, you know, in one house, nobody dies. And then the house that was in the same path right next door that was just as radically destroyed, everybody died. And the people they interview in the one house says, yeah, it's a miracle we're here. It is. But the other house, they can't say the same thing. Why didn't they get a miracle? Why didn't they get a miracle? You ever wonder that? There are lots of ways that you could guess at answering that question, but the only answer that we can safely offer and honestly offer is, I don't know. I don't know. You see, that's we don't like that. We like to know all the answers. And listen, when I was a younger pastor, I did. But you know what I've learned over the years? There are a lot of questions that I don't know the answers to this and will not know the answers to, maybe this side of eternity. So we have a problem when we think of God's sovereignty with unexplained catastrophe. Secondly, with the sometimes the wicked in their prosperity. You ever had a problem with that? You know, you look around and man, hey, we didn't deserve to be cheated. We didn't deserve to be laid off. We didn't deserve, you know, to have our children be all a mess. We really did our best to pour the word and just to pray over them. We don't deserve this kind of stuff. You find yourself sometimes, maybe you know some parents man, their marriage was a hash, a mess, and they were fighting and not getting along, and they were drunks, and their kids come out and love God and serve God and are in their mission field, and then you're going, man, we did everything, and your kids are on drugs and don't want anything to do with God. What's up with that? Well, it's not so sanitary as at least I thought it was when I first came to Jesus. This is Christianity that, you see, when you read the Bible, you see things differently. You see the reality, and God isn't afraid to deal with the reality. Life doesn't always go the way you want it. Asaph, you remember in Psalm 73, he was honest. You love it. The guy looked and he's looking at himself and man, he's being beat up and pushed out and persecuted and harassed and nobody's nice to him and people are laughing at him and mocking him for walking with the Lord and living his life for the Lord. And so he finally comes and gets fed up and he says, man, I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked in Psalm 73, verse 2. I looked at the bad guys, and they seem so carefree, and they seem so happy. They act like they don't have a problem in the world, man. They're living on easy street, and if they take the name of the Lord in vain, if they do perverse things, they just do it, and they rip people off, and man, it seems as they thumb their noses at God and go, oh, you Christians. Says they're always carefree, man. Have the bucks, drive the limos, have the servants. The good die young. The wicked live to be 85. Where's justice? You ever been there? Where's the justice in all that? Where is God when his people are backed up against a wall? You ever felt that? Maybe you feel that tonight. And we're up against a wall, Pastor. We got a mess. And I don't know what we've done to deserve it. You might ask, what does it mean his kingdom rules over all? That doesn't feel like that when we get kicked in the teeth and things don't work out.